Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So now we know. Yankees-Astros, American League Championship Series. It starts tomorrow in Houston. The games at Yankee Stadium will be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I think one of them will be an afternoon game.
Right, right.
They haven't announced which one,
right.
But one of them will be an afternoon game. And if there's a 6-7, we go back to Houston over the weekend. And joining us right now, a guy you've watched all year on the YES Network. He's been doing Yankee play-by-play and analyst for many, many years. Was a tremendous player himself. Ken Singleton. Ken, how you been?
Hi, Ken. How are you?
Good morning, Joe Evan. How are you today?
Doing all right. Doing all right. Well, we got the heavyweight matchup that everybody was expecting. I mean, a little bit of a scare from Tampa, but here it is, Ken. Your thoughts as we get ready for Houston Yankees?
Yeah, going back to spring training, I thought there would be a chance that two of three teams would make it to this point, and two of them have, the Yankees and the Astros. I thought the other team would be that had a chance was the Red Sox, but as the season went along, you could see they weren't going to make it. Their pitching just wasn't as good, and some of their position players had good years, but not as good a year as they had when they won the World Series last year. So, to me, this is no surprise that these two teams are here. During the regular season, of course, Houston won four of the seven games, but I think there was one game that was pivotal, and it kind of followed the same script as the ALCS did in 2017. Mm. This year, the Yankees got swept in Houston. They lost all three, and there was a four-game series in New York, and the Yankees won the first three games, and then Justin Verlander was able to beat them in the fourth game. And that's why this series is starting in Houston and not New York.
Yeah, and that's a big difference, especially we see how different Houston can be at home and on the road.
No doubt.
Yeah.
We see Gerrit Cole. He's on another level right now. Either him or Verlander is going to win the Cy Young. The Yankee individual players don't have a lot of experience against him. The Yankees faced him once this year. It was all the way back in April. They didn't face him last year. So a lot of the guys who have seen him probably saw him back in the National League, like Giancarlo and DJ LeMahieu. On the other side, they've seen Verlander and Greinke, too, a lot. How much, if at all, is that a disadvantage that a lot of these guys, like Aaron Judge has two at-bats against Gerrit Cole, Gleyber Torres has three at-bats against Gerrit Cole. How much, if at all, is that a disadvantage to the Yankees?
Well, I think it's a disadvantage for anybody who's facing Gerrit Cole right now, no matter how many at-bats you've had against him. It seems to me it's his year, and he should win the Cy Young in the American League. I think he's been that good. I think there's a couple of keys for the Yankees in this series. I think that any game that Greinke starts, the Yankees have to win that game.
Yep.
Whether they beat him or beat the Houston bullpen, they have to win those games. I know Greinke had a good year. He was 18-5 and 8-1 when he got to Houston. And he made a start against the Yankees when he was with Arizona way back in April. It was the game that CeCe struck out his 3,000th hitter. But in that game, there was no Judge, there was no Stanton, there was no Didi in the lineup. The Yankees were really hurting at that time, as they were for just about the whole season. I think the games that Cole starts, and I believe he's going to start the game three in Yankee Stadium.
It looks that way, sure.
Yeah. Three of his five losses this year are on the road. Not to say that he's going to have a problem with Yankee Stadium, especially if he pitches the way he did in the division series. You know, 25 strikeouts in 15 innings. That's amazing. I just think that the Yankees are going to have a rough time with him, and probably a rough time with Verlander as well, who got the most postseason experience of all those three pitchers. He's 14-8 in the postseason, and he's had a great year. But I think the key for the Yankees in this series to have their pitchers stay with these guys and try and get their pitch counts up and get them out of games and then work on the bullpen to pick up victories. The game that Verlander won against the Yankees, well, he started twice, once in Houston and once in New York. He won the one in New York, and he got a no decision and won in Houston. And the Yankees should have won that game, but the bullpen blew it. So I think that This is going to be a very good series, and a lot depends on how the Yankee pitchers, the starters, and when they get to the bullpen, how they fare against this pretty good Houston offense.
You know, to me, this is really the old school way of thinking and the new school way of thinking going against each other. Ken, you got the old school big starting pitching rotation with Houston, and the new school, you know, and maybe we'll even use an opener with the Yankees. I mean, to me, it's the starting rotation of the Astros against the bullpen of the Yankees. That, to me, is where this series is going to be decided.
You know, and you're right. It's old school against new school, because pitching staffs years ago, particularly when I was playing, they were built from front to back.
Yep.
Your starters were the big guys, and the relievers were guys who were mostly failed starters. Now, in the minor leagues, they groom pitchers to be relievers and come in and throw 95 for an inning or maybe two at the most and pick up strikeouts, and pitching staffs are now built from the back to the front. So it's sort of like old school against new school. And I think, I don't know, maybe this will go a long way to see how teams think about their pitching staffs in the future, the way this series goes. Verlander, Gerrit Cole, guys like Greinke, they're worth their weight in gold, because what they do is they usually go deep in the games, and they're the ones that save the bullpen for the days that the other starters go that aren't quite as effective, or the days when they want to use an opener. And I think that that's why Gerrit Cole is – I think he's going to become the highest paid pitcher ever after this season is over. There's no doubt in my mind that he's going to get a massive contract, whether it be from the Houston Astros or another team.
And I'll tell you right now, if I'm the Yankees, that's the guy I got to get.
And you know
what?
Well,
that's the guy you got to get. Well, they drafted him before out of high school, and he went to college, and they tried to trade for him to get him from Pittsburgh. But Pittsburgh traded him to Houston. So maybe the third time's a charm.
Well, if I'm Gerrit Cole, I say two things to Brian Cashman. Obviously, I want the paycheck. But then the second thing is, you're not taking me out after five innings. I don't want to
That's a good point,
bro. You know,
bro.
Ken, that leads me to Tanaka. Because Tanaka's the ace of the Yankees. I don't care what his regular season ERA is. It means nothing. The guy has been a great postseason pitcher. And during the regular season, he'll go seven innings. He'll go eight innings. He had a complete game shutout this season. But during the postseason with Boone, we saw this last year in game two against the Red Sox. We saw it this year, game two against Minnesota. They take him out after five. They don't want him facing a lineup a third time around. I don't know about you, Ken. I think he's the guy that I would feel comfortable doing that with, where I would let him go deeper into games. And I think we already know going in, they're going to get five out of Tanaka. And no matter how good he is, he's probably done, even though I think he can go deeper into the game if they pushed him. What do you think?
Yeah, I think that's something that analytics dictates nowadays, that you don't pitch your seeing the lineup for the third time. Although Tanaka's got such a variety of pitches that, you know, he can mix it up pretty well. I thought he was brilliant against the Twins. He made some pitches that were right on the money, down on the corner, low and inside, outside, upstairs when he had to. He just was brilliant. And I think that you're right. He has a pedigree about him that he's a good postseason pitcher, and he can rise to the occasion. I think one of the keys for the Yankees in this series coming up is how Paxton pitches. I know he's been pretty good down the stretch here, but he's going to have to be maybe even better than that against a Houston team that's very solid offensively. To me, this is a great matchup. And like I said, one that I kind of look forward to going way back to spring training. Both teams are pretty healthy now, and I think that you're going to see some very good baseball. And one thing I've always felt about the postseason, this is the time when you see who the real players are. And that makes it enjoyable for me. Going into the series, you don't necessarily, as a player, you don't necessarily want to be the big hero, but you certainly don't want to be the guy that messes everything up.
How do you, again, we're talking to the great Kent Singleton as we get ready for Yankees Astros Saturday night in Houston, game one. Offensively, to me, it's close. I give the Yankees the edge, though. I a little bit of an edge offensively over the Astros. What about that, Ken?
The Astros are good. There's no doubt. But you know, when you hit 306 home runs, that means you're getting contributions from everybody on the team. I think in this series with the Astros, their big three are right-handed pitchers. It's going to be Brett Gardner. Didi might play a big role in it. I think you're going to have to see some left-handed hitters come through and the right-handed hitters jump on the few mistakes that these Astro pitchers make. I think in order to beat Gerrit Cole or Verlander or even Greinke for that matter, if they have that one bad inning, that's where you got to put the game away. You got to throw up three or four, and hopefully your pitchers and bullpen can hold it there. They're not going to have many stretches where they have two or three bad innings in a row. That's not going to happen. It's difficult to get a sequence of things going against these type of pitchers. Not only is Gerrit Cole a strikeout pitcher, he doesn't walk many either. So it's not like he's going to get himself into trouble. You're going to have to string some hits together, maybe get lucky and dunk one in, and then get a base hit, and then somebody jacks one out of the ballpark. But these guys are difficult. I don't know if you're going to see a high-scoring series. You might not. But the Yankees, I think, do have the edge in the offense.
We're talking to Ken Singleton. The Yankees and the Astros begin the ALCS on Saturday. I know that a few years ago, Kyle Schwarber did that amazing comeback in which he barely played in the regular season. All of a sudden, he's hitting in the World Series. He's hitting 412. But I have a tough time believing that a guy can miss so much time and then come back and contribute offensively that quickly. And the Yankees sort of have that choice with Aaron Hicks. It's not even the whole season, but it has been 2 months since he's seen major league pitching. He is healthy. How would you handle it? Would you be hesitant to insert Aaron Hicks into the starting lineup because, you know, the guy hasn't seen live pitching in 2 months?
Yeah, I would be hesitant. I'm not sure if I would go that route if I were the Yankees. 2 months, and it's not like you're coming into the regular season where you might be able to face a team like the Orioles or other teams that really don't have a tremendous pitching staff. You're coming off where you haven't played in 2 months, and all of a sudden you're going to face Gerrit Cole and Verlander and Greinke and pitchers like that. That's a different story. To me, Stanton came back under similar circumstances, but he had a chance to play quite a bit down the stretch, and the Yankees kept him in there. And to me, I've been surprised by how well he's done. He's shown a pretty good batting eye at the plate. He's walked quite a bit. Pitchers are careful with him, of course, because if they make mistakes, he's going to hit the ball hard or far somewhere. So I think that I'm not so sure I would jump Hicks in there. I know he can do other things. I know he's good defensively. If he says his arm is okay, I have to believe him. He's got one of the best arms for a center fielder in the game. But when you're facing these guys, this is a different story than facing the Orioles or the Blue Jays or one of those lesser teams that you got a chance to jump in on during the course of the season after a long layoff. So to me, this is different. I'd be hesitant if I were the Yankees, and I might be willing to say, we'll see you in spring training and make sure you are really healthy.
Does it bother you? You're not going to be able to do these games? Because I got to tell you something, because this is something that really gets me about the playoffs in baseball. I mean, you guys are doing the games all year. The local announcers, you're doing 162. How many games you guys? I don't know how many games you do personally, Kenny, but you're doing a big bulk of the year. And now you got to go to these national guys that really know nothing about the team. And these guys are the ones calling these games. I got a problem with that. Does that bother you? You don't get a chance to do this?
It's bothered me for quite a while. And, I'm in the same boat with Michael Kay. I think Michael feels the same way, and he does a lot more games than I do. The fact is that I think Michael has said in the past, it's like you date a young woman all year long, and when a chance to go to the prom, somebody else takes her. To me, that's not right in a way, and I don't think the fans nationally get a good feel for what your team is all about.
No doubt about it.
They don't get the true feeling from broadcasters who've been with the team just about every single day of the year. And for me, it's not me doing the games. I'm sure Michael Kay should be doing them.
And you know what's funny about that, Ken? Because, I mean, we're biased, right? You know, we're in New York. We're familiar with you guys. I always said to Joe they should take one announcer from each team, put them together, and, you know, there you go. I feel that way about Nationals Cardinals. Like, as I get sit down and watch the NLCS, I don't really like either team. I'd love to hear a Cardinal announcer and a National announcer because they have a feel for that team a hell of a lot more than me or anybody else. So I don't even – it's not just when it's the Mets or the Yankees I feel that way. Even with Nationals Cardinals, it'd be cool to hear Bob Carpenter, you know, doing the game as a Nationals guy. So – Maybe someday they'll change it, Ken. Because
you know, years ago they did do that
in the World Series. In the World Series, they would do that. Yep.
Yeah, and they also did it during the regular season. I worked a Braves and Expos series years ago with Pete Van Wieren, the great broadcaster from the Atlanta Braves, and that was the '94 season when the Expos actually had a 6-game lead on the Braves, and the season was canceled because of the strike or lockout, whichever it was. And to me, that was the death knell of baseball in Montreal. The Montreal fans never really came back after that.
Nope.
And it has happened in the past, and I'd like to see that happen again in the future.
So you don't get any satisfaction from the Montreal Expo franchise playing in the National League Championship Series right now?
It's a different story.
No, of course.
The only thing for me is that, you know, they're relatively close. They're 40 miles from where I live here.
Kenny, we hate the Nationals. So we're Met fans. We can't stand them. So I got to tell you that.
I can understand that. You know, my brother's a big Met fan, and I'm sure he's not rooting for the Nationals.
No. And I don't love the Cardinals either. I got no real love for them.
Yeah, it's not great.
I mean, let me tell you right now, the four teams in the National League that played, I hated them all. I wanted them all to lose. I got to be honest, Ken.
Well, Ken, we always appreciate
Kenny,
talking to you, man.
It's always a pleasure.
Thank you so much.
No doubt about it, man.
Guys, we'll talk again soon if you'd like. It'd be my
pleasure.
Absolutely.
We love it.
You be well.
Okay. Ken Singleton does a great job on Yes for Games 1 and 2 Saturday and Sunday. Yes Network will have Bob Lorenz, Buck Showalter, John Flaherty, and Jack Curry in the studio. On site, Kay, Jeff Nelson, Meredith Marakovich, and the pregame shows will begin at 7 o'clock Eastern Time both Saturday and Sunday. And they'll have a supersized postgame show after the last outs of each game. So they certainly have you covered as the Yankees get set to play the ALCS against the Astros. Carl Banks coming up. We'll give you a chance to win Yankee playoff tickets.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.